Hey there, we wrapped up a big week on Friday, November 8th. Everybody wanted to talk tolls and the governor's latest long-term transportation plan. We checked in the 3 o'clock hour with our buddy Mark Fitch, the investigative reporter from the Yankee Institute of Connecticut. 5 o'clock hour, a doubleheader of guests, Themis Claridis, State House Minority Leader, Republican from Derby, and Republican State Senator Kevin Kelly of Stratford. They both weighed in on what they see as the big problem with the governor's transportation plan.
You won't be judged here.
Well, maybe a little.
Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli, WICC 600.
Coming up to 3:32. Hope your Friday is going well. Thank you so much for hanging out with us right here at WICC 600 on the radio and online at WICC600.com. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Welcoming back to the program here for a few minutes, a guy we check in with from time to time. He is the investigative reporter, and he blogs at the Yankee Institute for Public Policy here in Connecticut, the state's conservative think tank. Mark Fitch joins us. Mark, Paul here again. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's good to be with you again, Paul.
Yes, Mark. Well, let's see. First we had 80 gantries, and then we had 50, and now we have 14. What do you make of this plan? This plan, and you know, we had rumors of this for the past couple of weeks, 50 cents or a dollar for tolls, 20% discount. None of this is really new, but I guess the big factor now is, Mark, the governor's actually released this thing.
Yeah, and it was, quote unquote, leaked to the press the day before, you know, he's put it out, and the day after the election. So that was interesting timing as well. But yeah, so basically the governor is looking to, you know, install, you know, 14 or I hear 15 a lot too, 15 tolls on bridges throughout the state in order to leverage federal transportation loans, these low interest loans that the federal government offers. So they're looking to collect about $320 million per year off these tolls. And that money would be used to not only maintain the bridges that the tolls are on, but also to leverage these loans to pay for, you know, a bunch of train stuff, you know, adding cars and improving, you know, rail lines and everything like that, all the way to buses and airports. It's a fairly, you know, large transportation plan, not nearly as big as Governor Malloy's Let's Go CT thing that, you know, has hopefully died away. But it is a large plan. We're talking $21 billion in spending.
And do you think, Mark, that in any way is a tactic here by the governor? In other words, when I saw this and I saw that he included the rails and air transportation and buses, he's trying to sell this, right, as kind of an omnibus sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's a lot of the money's going towards, you know, Metro North and trying to speed up the trains a little bit there or be able to carry more capacity. And so a lot of this is kind of centered around Fairfield County. A lot of the tolls are going to be in Fairfield County. But at the same time, you have to look at it this way. You know, you're going to have money collected from drivers being used to pretty much get more federal loans for, you know, things that drivers don't use, like trains and buses. So if you're already driving to work, you're not using the train or the bus. So this doesn't really, you know, help you out too much. But, you know, maintaining the bridges. I mean, Connecticut's done a very good job maintaining its bridges. We actually have one of the lowest rates of structurally deficient bridges in the Northeast.
We are talking tolls and transportation like just about everyone is around the state. The new transportation plan released by Governor Ned Lamont a couple of days ago, coming more into focus. A lot of folks like the overall idea. How to finance it, though, that's another thing, which includes tolls. Mark Fitch joins us from the Yankee Institute. Mark, go back. I know we're against it time-wise there. Go back and talk about what you said about bridges, because I think we get the impression, Mark, which apparently is not true, that all these bridges are about to just completely fail and hundreds of thousands of cars are going to drive off into a river here. What were you saying about our bridge inspection?
No, the bridges, even the ones listed as structurally deficient, are not in any danger of collapse. They're not dangerous bridges. The Connecticut Department of Transportation, you know, they work hard and they do their job. They make sure that these bridges are safe. If they weren't, they'd be shut down. And so even the federal government, when they list something as structurally deficient, you know, there's a big disclaimer on their website saying it does not mean that they are unsafe. They just require more maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, every bridge at some point becomes structurally deficient, just like every car, when you drive it long enough, requires more maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of the life of a bridge. And when you look at the bridges that the state of Connecticut actually maintains, only 185 are actually structurally deficient. The rest of the numbers that you hear, the 300 plus, those are for bridges that are maintained by municipalities.
Locally, cities and towns.
Local bridges. It's a big difference.
Mark, one thing I did find interesting in this, and you really have to paw through the articles, because this is not being, I know you know and some other people do, but you know, in the Cliff Notes version of this, a lot of people read or hear, they don't see this. I found it interesting, Mark, that if you break this down, the governor is diverting an amount of the sales tax into this. Now, Mark, one thing I've always said, and some people disagree with me and some agree with me, I say to make sure the burden is spread evenly, not just to people who drive on the roads, because a state road is a state road. I've always thought, before we start putting up these tolls, why don't we perhaps divert sales tax money or maybe hike it by 0.5% with the proviso that all goes by law to roads and bridges? But from what I've seen, Mark, legislative Democrats don't like this idea.
Well, yeah. So the vehicle sales tax, when you buy a car and you pay sales tax, that was supposed to go into the special transportation fund. The most recent budget in 2019, quote unquote, diverted the sales tax revenue away from the special transportation fund to the tune of $172 million.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, when Governor Lamont put out his budget in, I think it was February, he had diverted a ton, you know, and the legislature actually, you know, reined it in a little bit. And he had diverted, you know, hundreds of millions more away from the special transportation fund,
mm-hmm.
and then said that we needed tolls. So part of this, you know, narrative is the fact that there's difficulty trusting the government when it says that we have a transportation funding crisis and then takes $172 million out of transportation funding so it can fill, you know, a general fund budget deficit.
And that's the kind of three-card Monty-ish stuff that you mentioned, Mark Fitch, that causes people to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm no engineer, I'm no, you know, big-time politico, but, you know, who's zooming who here? I can say when you take one from column A and put it in column B, this is a little strange.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it goes back to, this isn't the first time that this has happened. I mean, the legislature in the past has diverted funds away from the special transportation fund in the past as well. I mean, this is why that people passed a constitutional lockbox on the special transportation fund. And no sooner did they do that than the legislature goes in and starts taking money away from it again, with the excuse that, well, we're not taking it out of the transportation fund because it's not there yet. We're just diverting the money away.
And they do that, Mark, they do that with a straight face. I mean, I've seen them say that in legislative hearings. I caught them on CTN a few times, and somebody sent me a clip. They said, watch this. And I literally had to replay it two or three times. I heard them say it, Mark, but I just kept looking at the straight face that they used. It was magnificent that they actually could keep a straight face and do that.
Yeah, and, you know, they sit there and they say that they've never taken money out of the special transportation fund. Well, first of all, they did in 2015. They took about $76 million out. And secondly, if that's never happened, then why do you need a transportation lockbox anyway?
Precisely.
So, yeah, and so why do we have this big thing if it's never been a problem? But yeah, they do go up there, and I don't know if, you know, maybe you guys didn't catch it, but on this blog called Daily Ructions,
Kevin Rennie, yeah.
Who,
yeah, I know Kevin.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
So he somehow got a hold of all the talking points that are going to be used to sell this new transportation plan and published them all. So yeah. If anybody wants to see, you know, what they're going to be told in the following weeks, they can go to go to Daily Ructions and take a look.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get Kevin on about that. I saw that today. Mark Fitch with us right now, the investigative reporter for the Yankee Institute. So, Mark, now we're getting pitched with 14 tolls. Apparently, there will be a 20% discount for Connecticut residents. And I guess one thing they're pitching, Mark, is you can only get, if you go back and forth, say, on a bridge in particular, southbound one way, say, northbound the other way, it's the only bridge you go over, perhaps, to get to work in the morning or get to school. Apparently, you can only get billed a round trip once in a 24-hour period, correct?
Yeah, that's part of the plan. So they are trying to factor in these different, like, kind of commuter discounts for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how that goes. You know, they do something similar with bus riders. So if you take, you know, an express bus and you use it, like, you know, 5 days a week, they cut you a little discount.
You know, here's the thing. Mark, one thing here is people forget, even if, even if people say, well, okay, I'll trust you one more time on this. But, Mark, as you and I well know, that does not mean that the governor's plan as it is going to survive what many of the legislative Democratic leaders may do to this thing, as far as, say, for instance, they may say, okay, we'll vote for this, but we want to take out that 24-hour billing cycle once. You know what I mean? They will tweak this and screw around with it.
Yes, and it's also, it'll remain to be seen, you know, when you have to put this up as far as legislation, you know, who's going to control the toll rates? I know the governor says that the toll rates are going to be set because they're going to be tied to federal funding, but I don't see what would ever prevent them from legislating that the toll rates be increased.
Oh, of course.
There's really no obligation of the federal government to maintain a particular toll rate. Because the feds, the only thing they care about is whether or not their loan's going to get paid off.
And, you know, Mark, one thing before we go to break here, I've had a couple of callers bring up a very salient point here. Isn't the amount of federal highway money we get from the feds and the federal DOT, isn't that tied to the fact that we don't have tolls? And might that shift or significantly move if we add tolls?
Depending on what program you do it under, it shouldn't actually affect federal funding. But this is kind of a gray area because the feds are still going to have to approve these toll locations.
Interesting. So they've got to see. So what do they look at, Mark, in approving these? Do you have any idea?
Well, they do look at the location, how it affects people living in that location. Under previous iterations, when they were trying to do congestion tolling, the government had to go around and have, like, public hearings about this. I'm not sure how it's going to work under this loan proposal thing. So that's a little bit more of a gray area. But because you're putting them on interstate routes, whether or not they're having to do with bridges, you are going to have federal approval to do these tolls. And that means that the state government might have to jump through a few more hoops before they can get this done.
And so we continue to try and make sense of this toll and transportation plan that Governor Ned Lamont has released. This is round three of the transportation plan, at least as far as the tolls are concerned. Mark Fitch, Yankee Institute of Connecticut, joining us. And Mark, again, one other thing that this kind of boggles my mind, but I think I may understand where they're going on this. We have the short session of the General Assembly coming up. Now, this is an election year coming up, Mark. You and I both know it would be suicidal to try and get this thing passed through this session of the General Assembly. I'm wondering, you tell me if I'm crazy or not, I'm wondering if the idea is just to wet the whistle on this for the next 2 or 3 months, have it out there, take no action on it now, right? But then come 2020, and after the cycle coming up with the presidential election all the way down to the General Assembly, I wonder if Democrats hold on to both chambers, Mark, with a big enough margin if they just say, screw it, we're okay for 2 years, we will then vote to go with this. We don't have to worry about what just happened. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. But at the same time, it really seems like the governor is chomping at the bit to, you know, get this done. They're even talking maybe a special session before the next legislative session.
Wow, I don't get that.
Yeah, I mean, the political calculus on it, you know, doesn't look great. Because, I mean, even if you do it in November and you actually pass it with a special session, mm-hmm. and frankly, it doesn't look like the Republicans at this point are going to get on board because they don't need to. It's just going to be used to beat the Democrats over the head for the next, you know, year or so until the elections come around.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
The political posturing on this is kind of odd. But yeah, Lamont's coming out and trying to really push this. But, you know, notably absent from the press conference yesterday was any legislative leadership.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had his crew there. He had, you know, the unions there, but he did not have, you know, either Joe Arasimowitz or Martin Looney there.
Or Bob Duff. From Norwalk, absolutely. And again, I've you probably talked to a lot of the same people I do, Mark, but I checked again with people I know, some members of the caucus and some assistants up there, and I said, listen, are there still 10 to 15 squishy Ds on this in the House? And I was told in the affirmative, yeah, around there. I mean, Mark, you and I both know, do the math. If the Democrats were to lose 10 to 15 seats here, which they could if people are upset enough, that sets the General Assembly, at least the House, that puts the House at almost a 50-50 split here, let alone what would happen in the Senate.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously they got big margins this past election, and they're looking to hold on to that, and they're hoping to expand it because of the Trump factor in Connecticut. But if all eyes are turned toward the state and all eyes are focused on a very, you know, controversial, you know, politically divisive issue like, you know, the transportation and tolls, we may be looking at something entirely different the next election. So,
yeah.
Like I said, even if they manage to squeak it through, it's going to be used as a cudgel to beat them over the head for the next year.
Mark, in about the minute we have left, what's your gut feeling? I don't know if you're a betting man or not, but what do you think happens in the next few months with this? What do you think happens?
You know, it's tough to say because, you know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. We're coming up on Christmas. Are they going to try to push through a special session when they have other things that they have to do special sessions for? They have to deal with the hospital tax and the lawsuit. They have to deal with a bonding package. So I don't think that they're going to be able to get a special session in on this. You know, obviously, that's just my prediction. They're going to have to hold off, I think, until the actual legislative session. And if that happens, then we'll see how it goes. But the Democrats don't need Republicans to pass this. You know, they can do it anytime they want. And, you know, people have to keep that in the back of their minds.
Mark Fitch, as always. Mark, thank you, folks. You can read Mark's excellent analysis and reporting, the Fitch Files, online at the Yankee Institute. Mark, thanks. We'll be in touch, buddy.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Well, folks, there you go. The whole timing of this doesn't make any sense at all. If the Democrats, see, what they're doing is they're on bended knee here. It's like they're genuflecting at Mass on Sunday morning here. They're begging some of the Republicans to come along on this. And the longer the GOP says no, and we'll be talking to Themis Claridis in about an hour regarding her chamber, the State House minority leader, they don't get any help from Republicans, and it's Democrats alone. Are they really going to pass this in an election year? It doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Maybe Ned Lamont is operating on a different wavelength. Seriously, maybe he has a different calculus to all of this.
Listening to Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli on WICC 600.
And hi there, it is, look at that, 8 past 5 o'clock, 5:08, hour number 4 of our program today, final hour of the week. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. We're at 203-333-9422. 203-333-WICC. Everybody chiming in, from the public to legislative leaders, regarding this latest, which appears to be round three, latest pitch on transportation and tolls. Tolls, part of the transportation package here that was aired a few days ago by Governor Ned Lamont. Joining us right now, Republican House Minority Leader, State Rep. Themis Claridis of Derby. Themis, how are you?
I'm okay. Good. Thank you for having me.
Well, Themis, great to have you again. And you've digested, I think, a little bit of what the governor's put out here in various forms over the past two or three days. What's your initial feeling on this, Themis, what you've been able to read and kind of roll around here?
Well, I'm glad the governor, you know, finally really thought this through and tried to think of some creative ways that we can fund our transportation system. I think that certainly I do, and I don't know anybody who doesn't agree that transportation funding is a priority. But once again, it's about how we fund it, and we still do not agree with funding our transportation initiatives through tolling in the state. You know, there's a part of this proposal that shows us that we can take advantage of very low interest borrowing from the federal government. I think that's a great way for us to work with them in a positive way, and I think we should get more information on that and try to use that low interest funding. The problem is they need a dedicated revenue stream, and the governor's proposal is 14 tolls. So he's calling them temporary. We all know there's no such thing as temporary tolls. His temporary toll lasts 37 years, just so we're all aware, because that's how long it costs to pay off the note. But we all know whether it's 37 years or 3 years, once that revenue stream is in place, it is never going away, and it will continue to increase like every other state in this country. So, you know, I think that there's a way that we can all sit down and figure out what parts of this we think are valuable. I think the project list is valuable. I think they need to be pared down a little bit, because $21 billion is just not affordable in the state, in the fiscal circumstances we are in.
So, Themis, let me just make sure people hear that. You know, when this plan, when round three of this was initially leaked a couple, 3 weeks ago, I had some Capitol-based reporters on, and one of them said it was going to be 10 years of temporary tolls, but you say it's much longer than that.
Well, his plan is 10 years. So, I mean, it's a little complicated, but it's actually very simple. So it's 10 years of tolls. I mean, 10 years of his plan.
Okay.
And what happens is, because of this federal funding, this federal borrowing at very, very low interest rates, each year of the 10 years, there's borrowing of $100 to $200 mm-hmm. million. Dollars.
Yep.
Okay. It varies each year. And so it will take, from year one, it's 27 years to pay off those notes.
Okay.
Right?
Yep. Okay.
From year two, it's 27 years. From year three, it's 27 years. So by year 10, where it's 27 years, that's 37 years from year one. Right?
Okay, so they need a 37-year revenue stream as collateral to do this.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right, well, that...
And,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
And the other problem is they're coming out with, you know, they're saying you will only be charged once if you go over a toll per day. They're saying they will stop on Friday night. And I think those are all great ideas. The mm-hmm. problem is there's not one person in this state who trusts that will actually happen.
Yeah.
And when you look at the income tax that wasn't supposed to be permanent, when you looked at the hospital tax that the hospitals were supposed to get back, they not only did they not get it back, they had to sue the state to try and get it back, which we still haven't resolved. When you look at the conveyance taxes, when you look at the promise, and you and I have talked about this time after time, of a fire school by the governor
mm-hmm.
that still hasn't been funded. And what's worse about that is he's trying to hold me and other people hostage for tolls before we get a fire school. I mean, you know, the bonding of the state of Connecticut, the towns and cities are now being punished, and money they're going to need to fix their roads that they've been promised and used for snow removal that may be coming any day soon
mm-hmm.
has not been given out. I've never in my career, in 20 years, I've never seen bonding held up this long, because he's trying to hold all of this hostage, and one cannot have anything to do with the other.
Themis
needs to move on.
If this is pared down, and you say that this is a, and I read it too, and it seems to want everything, all these rebuilds, interchanges completely rebuilt, a lot of expensive stuff is there. If all sides were to sit down with the governor and say, okay, here's what we think. You know, we've consulted engineers and stuff. Let's do the really necessary, the really important stuff first. Let's make this plan a tight plan that doesn't go for as long as it does. Would that, you think, cut down sufficiently enough? Sufficiently enough that the financing of this could be done other ways without those tolls?
Yes, and that's what, you know, I've been suggesting. I met with the governor the other day, and I told him right to his face that, you know, I applaud his thinking out of the box in regards to some of these ideas. We just do not agree with the tolls part of it. And if you pare this down, and I don't know, it's not a magic number, but we'd all have to sit down and get information for the experts as to which of these projects need to be done first, second, third, fourth. And then we figure out what that dollar amount is. And $21 billion just isn't affordable right now.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the state of affairs of Connecticut's fiscal situation. So if you can pare that down, we have many revenue streams in this state that we can use for it. But here's the real question that has to be asked. Do we all agree transportation is a priority? The answer is yes from me. I will just tell you that. And I know from my caucus it is, and I can't imagine from anybody mm-hmm. the answer would be no. If that is the case, then we have to prioritize where our revenue is going. And that may mean it's not going somewhere else, because the answer is certainly not sticking our hands in people's pockets time and time again.
State Rep. Themis Claridis is with us discussing the toll plan, the transportation plan put forth by Governor Ned Lamont. Themis, the House Minority Leader, of course. Themis, yeah, especially for Fairfield County, I mean, a lot of these things, for example, trains, and I ride the train two or three times a week into New York and back, so I know Metro North like the back of my hand, but yeah, 110-mile-an-hour trains, that'd be really nice. Shaving the time to get into and out of Manhattan would be great. But to me, from a point of view of what's going to affect the most people in Connecticut every day, I would think, correct me if I'm wrong, that train thing probably should be scaled back a few years.
You know, I think we all are from the southern part of Connecticut, where Metro North is a huge priority. And I think that we need to... I think we need to put that as a priority. I do. But, I mean, I'll give you an example. The fares have gone up on Metro North for the past several years.
Oh, I know.
And right? And the reasoning for that is to make improvements.
Yeah.
Have you seen improvements?
Not much.
Have you seen improvements? Okay, me neither. And so that's where people – that's why we have a trust issue in this state. You know, you'll pay a little more, but our deficit will go away. Didn't happen. We still had a $3 billion deficit. You pay a little more on the fares, the trains will be better conditioned. Hasn't happened. And this is the problem with tolls. Nobody believes that by paying those tolls, it is going to improve transportation, because it's never going to end. I mean, I will give you an example of the governor's proposal. He said he's spoken with telecom companies,
mm-hmm.
and it's shameful, I agree, that there's only 3G on Metro North trains. People are going in and out of there for hours a day, and they are – this is all dead time that they can't work. He said he has talked to telecom companies, and they will increase that to 4G and then 5G for free. Why aren't we doing that? Why is everything tied to something
wait,
else?
Wait. You're telling me that they say they will get better coverage, which I know, because when I get lower Fairfield County, especially around Stamford, Norwalk, Greenwich, my cell service
right.
sucks. I can see it.
Yep.
So you mean to tell me the state has an offer to do this free?
That's what we have been told by the governor's office.
Oh, God. And again, we're talking transportation and tolls here in the great state of Connecticut. Themis Claridis joins us, state rep, Republican Derby. She's the House Minority Leader, among the numerous folks weighing in that we're trying to get to you regarding the governor's latest transportation plan. Part of it includes tolls, a revenue stream he says is needed to try and secure some low-interest borrowing in a plan that would go 21 years over 21, I'm sorry, $21 billion plan over years. A lot of folks say that's impractical. Let's do the expensive stuff first. You know, Themis, I have a wild idea, and you've been up there for a lot of years. You tell me if I'm crazy, okay? You tell me if I'm crazy.
Okay.
What about taking something perhaps that, for example, sports gambling, okay? The now, granted, New Jersey is a much bigger state. Now, New Jersey took in, Themis, I don't know whether you saw this. Now, this is their handle. This is not what they made. They took in almost $500 million in the first month of gambling when the NFL season started. Is there any thought up there, Themis, as to once this gets settled with the Indian tribes or maybe recreational marijuana, is there any thought of ever taking one of these emerging revenue streams and saying, okay, let's dedicate this to transportation? So for 5 years, say, every cent we make on sports gambling, which we've never had before, that would go to the roads. Is that talked about at all?
We talk about lots of different revenue streams, and that's what we've been saying here. I mean, people may not agree with some of them, but there are other revenue streams. The governor and the Democrats seem very myopic in their focus on tolls, and they will tell you that that's the only way this is falling apart and there's no way we can fund it otherwise. Now, what frustrates me is the hypocrisy of it and the inconsistency. And by that, I mean, in June, a state budget passed our two-year state budget. We had a $3 billion deficit after you've been taxed, the two highest tax increase in the state's history in the past 8 years. And in that budget, spending increased. Okay, not only that, but there was $171 million raided from the Special Transportation Fund to plug a hole in the general fund, and there was a $1.7 billion tax increase. Now, here's my problem. You tell me that transportation is a priority, which I wholeheartedly agree with. You tell me that transportation needs to be invested in, which, again, agree with, or we cannot improve our economic status in Connecticut. Our economy will not improve. The business climate will not improve. You cannot tell me, I must toll you, I must stick my hand in your pocket yet again to fund transportation because the economy will not get better when you just got out of a session that was arguably the most anti-business session we've ever had. You cannot have it both ways.
Yeah, and again, Themis, like you said before, it really is a matter of trust. You know, I take calls on this show all the time, and my callers have said uniformly, Themis, they've said, I know the roads have to get fixed. I hit potholes every day. I see bridge crews working on bridges. You know, I take Metro North or my family takes Metro North. But again, as you said, Themis, when you lose the trust of the voter, I don't care whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, you can lose it. And voters, you know, every so often they'll say, OK, I believe you now, believe you now, until the point where they say, Themis, that's it, enough. You know, it's like a little kid. You promise me, you promise me. And that's where we are now.
That is exactly where we are. And that's the sad part of this.
Themis,
you know,
thanks.
The governor said yesterday, I give my word and I keep my word. With all due respect, he has broken his word. From the moment he campaigned, when he said, I only support trucks, only tolls, that wasn't the case. He promised this fire school, that wasn't the case. You know, one thing after the next. Unfortunately, I want to believe him, but I can't. But it's not just him. It is the Democrats in the legislature and a lot of my colleagues, not all of them, but a lot of them, that have not kept their word. So why should anybody believe their word now? They won't.
Are the Democrats, Themis, final question here, the Democrats, I mean, they could, listen, everybody knows they have the money. You guys in the House and Senate are in the minority there. They have the numbers, I'm sorry. They have the numbers to pass this if they want to. Is this strictly out of fear that if 10 or 15 of them get beat, in the House anyway, it goes from a sizable majority to almost a 50-50 split in your chamber?
Well, listen, it's, you know, it's a bigger difference in the Senate, to be honest with you, based on the numbers.
Yeah.
But either way, just think of it this way. A budget was passed this year that raided the Special Transportation Fund, that increased your taxes, and that spent more money. They didn't care to have one Republican vote. They passed a paid family medical leave bill that is a payroll tax, which we had a great alternative to give you a choice of whether you want it or not. They didn't need one of our votes. They didn't need one of our votes and didn't care to have a Republican vote in any of those situations. This one, they won't pass it without Republican votes. All that tells you very simply is they're afraid to vote for it because they will lose their seats. And that is not a genuine and forthright argument. Go pass it if you want. You know what? I've heard the Speaker and the Majority Leader say, listen, I don't know how people in Fairfield County don't vote for, don't Republican legislators in Fairfield County don't vote for this. I go, you know, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Majority Leader, I thank you so much for your concern with our caucus. We can take care of ourselves. If you think this is such a great plan, go ahead. You have enough members to vote for. It's November. Nothing's passed because they're scared because they know it's not good.
Of course. Themis, thanks. We appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. We'll talk. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Paul.
Thanks, Themis. Yep. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. By the way, folks, I did extend an invitation to a couple of Democrats to come on the show, and I haven't heard anything yet. Now, they may come on next week. We're trying here, so. But there you go. And Themis makes an important point here, and it's true. Republican votes are not needed to pass this thing. As she said, how many pieces of legislation in this state are passed on straight party line votes? Well, they could do it this time, but they don't want to because, again, they would probably easily lose the Senate, easily. And then they could get almost a 50-50 split in the House, and then anything Governor Lamont wanted to do on anything else grinds to a complete halt. So again, you know, I know people tend to wallow in pity here that the Democrats have majorities here in the state, but again, one election cycle, if enough people get PO'd enough in one election cycle, you can change that.
Connecticut has a lot of problems. Here's the man who will solve them. Connecticut Today with Paul Pizzelli. WICC 600.
I can solve them if I have money. Boy, we're coming up to 6 o'clock here. Winding down on a Friday. Winding down on a big week. Once again, thanks for everybody who took some time yesterday as we stepped out of the realm of arguing policy. We surrendered the phone lines, our signal, our web stream to the great folks at the Bridgeport Rescue Mission. We were able to raise several $1,000s for them yesterday. That was great. We really had some amazing stories of people who've had their lives turned around by that great organization. If you want to give to them, please do it online, BridgeportRescueMission.org, BridgeportRescueMission.org. And I met some wonderful people from the Rescue Mission yesterday. And the people I spoke to whose lives had been turned around, amazing stuff. One of the best days in this format of radio I've ever done. 5:39, 21 before 6, checking in with us. State Senator, Republican, Stratford, Kevin Kelly. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself, Paul?
Kevin, I'm trying to recover from the breath, the magnificence of the third round of the governor's transportation plan. Kevin, what time do those 110-mile-an-hour trains leave from the Stratford Metro North Station? Can I get on one?
Not if it's going 100 miles an hour.
110, Kevin. Get it right. I read 110. I read 110. Well, look, you've looked at this, and I had Themis Claridis on before you, and obviously the question here, Kevin, is how much of this can we do? And the point here is, if we're going to take advantage of these loans, I guess, how do we do this? And, Kevin, I can tell you, every caller I take on this show during the week, they say the same thing. I know the roads have to be fixed. I know bridges have to be maintained. I'd like improvements on Metro North, but I don't trust the General Assembly. What do you tell them?
Well, that's well-founded, and it's grounded in the truth. I mean, for the past 10 years that I've been in the legislature, 9 actually, the governor and his majority has not treated the special transportation fund and the sacrifice made by taxpayers with the respect and dignity that it deserves. That's a big problem. That's a huge hurdle that needs to be jumped. Connecticut families are already making a sacrifice for roads and bridges. And this governor went and swept the special transportation fund and took money and threw it into the general fund while he's coming forward saying, hey, we need to do these investments. And one of the big problems that I see here with what he's done is a couple of them. Number one is he hasn't gotten it right that the Connecticut family, the middle-class family, is struggling financially and can't afford more money going out of their pocket to the government. Number two is that his plan that he put together now once again focuses on tolls that hits the working class, middle class family. And that it's just, you know, the wrong focus. what we need, and, you know, listening to the last caller, I mean, it's clear. The budget in the state of Connecticut is all about priorities.
Mm-hmm.
What are the priorities? And we've had this discussion before,
yep,
Paul.
Yep.
You know, health care in the Kelly household is higher than sports. But Governor Lamont found $20 million for UConn sports to go to the Big East rather than solve premium increase for Connecticut families. This is the whole issue here. The Connecticut Democrats are spending money in a lot of areas where you don't need to, and then coming back after they've wasted the sacrifice of the Connecticut taxpayer and saying, oh, by the way, now we need more. And they put a lot of color glossy, you know, pictures and websites and a lot of bells and whistles. But the fact of the matter is, who's paying the tab? If it's a middle class family, they can't take it anymore. And that's the problem here.
Kevin, for the politics of this, as I always point out here, as you point out, as my other guests point out, the Democrats of the General Assembly, they could pass this plan tomorrow, almost literally. I mean, the next time you guys and gals get together, even if there's no special session, if it's the short session coming up in an election year, that'll never happen. But technically, Kevin, they've got a big enough majority, correct, that they could do this. And there, I guess, they are wincing at the possibility of losing their majorities.
Clearly, Paul, it's a single party rule in the state of Connecticut. They have the governor. They have the Connecticut Senate, Connecticut House. They have the U.S. Senate and all our members of Congress in Washington. Every single elected office, including the constitutional officers, are Democrats. They have all the eggs in that basket. They can do whatever they want, whenever they want. Plain and simple. And, you know, what I keep saying to folks is, with all that power, with all that ability, why aren't things better in the state of Connecticut? And if you don't think they're better, then maybe, just maybe, why don't you give the other team a try? Because I think we've got good ideas. I think we've done well, and even though we didn't have majorities, we had a tie in the Senate. We got a lot of things done that have now created a $2 billion surplus in the rainy day fund. We put in a spending cap that the voters wanted in 1991 with a constitutional amendment that corresponded with the income tax. Well, they wanted us to put a spending cap in. It took 25 years to have that. The Democrats never put that in. It was the Republicans that came along and did that. And so these are the structural reforms that Republicans brought that were fiscally responsible and didn't increase taxes on the middle class. Now here you have a Democrat majority, and look what we've got.
Kevin, thanks, my friend. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful and safe weekend, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye, Kevin. Kelly, State Senator Stratford there, hopefully waiting like I am for the train that goes 110 miles an hour.